Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk about her program tonight is author Desiree Hellegers. She's an associate professor at English at Washington State University in Vancouver. Good morning, Desiree.
Good morning.
And also Assemblymember Mim McConnell is here. And Mim, you also have another important role in the community, and that says president and co-founder of the Easter Group. And good morning to you, Mim.
Good morning back.
And thanks for coming in. And so 7 o'clock tonight, Desiree, you're going to be reading from your book at Kennelson. And I think just the story of how the book came about is interesting because, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air that a professor of English, you have a world of literature, open, available to you, but you were sort of affected by, I guess, working with the homeless in Seattle.
Yeah, I worked at the Lutheran Compass Center Women's Program in Seattle for a couple of years under the supervision of Grace Brooks, who was my boss at the time, and a very good one, I might add. And prior to that, I'd lived and worked at a shelter for women and families in Seattle for a year. So I lived, I had a kind of room in, off the office there and just spent a lot of time drinking coffee with women and listening to their stories. And then working graveyards and swing shifts at the Compass Center, I didn't have to do as many of the kind of tasks that a daytime advocate would do. And I just spent hours and hours listening to women's stories about growing up, about road trips, about parenting, about their work lives. And at the end of every shift, we had to kind of write up a brief set of shift notes with recommendations about the services that women might need. And I was really struck by kind of the disparity between the complexity of the stories that women told about their own lives and the ways in which those lives would be reduced to a sort of very almost clinical set of recommendations and guidelines. And so I spent years, I think, pondering that the ways in which homeless people's lives are kind of stripped down and objectified and not rendered with any of the sort of complexity and really beauty that with which they conveyed their own lives. And I also mentioned earlier that I spent time working up in Naknek King Salmon in the late 80s, and coming back through on the ferry, I ended up spending the night in the tent city outside Petersburg. And I was just really struck by the kind of generosity and sense of community that that I felt there, and the fact that people shared their food and they shared their stories. And actually coming back, I got off the ferry in downtown Seattle and sat down on the steps of the Compass Center. And I, you know, stupidly brought like a suitcase up to the canneries. And so I was sitting there on the steps with this suitcase, and there were men who walked by who were probably, you know, maybe in their 60s or 70s, you know, chronically homeless, probably living in St. Martin de Porres' shelter at the end of the pier. And they saw me sitting on the steps with the suitcase and made the very logical assumption that I was also homeless and started to give me quarters. And I thought, you know, I could sit here all day and these guys who have nothing would probably fill up, you know, if I had a cup, they'd fill it up with quarters. And, you know, to me, that's just one of the many experiences I've had of really the generosity of people who have really experienced the kind of trauma of homelessness. And that was part of, I think, what I wanted to convey in the book was, I think there's a tendency to make all kinds of moral judgments that are really based on very little information about homeless people choosing to be where they are. And there's not much in the way of preservation of and conveying of, you know, the stories that reflect, you know, incredible traumas often that people have lived through prior to becoming homeless, let alone the feelings of trauma and abandonment that accompany a single night on the street.
Were you surprised at the depth of experience that homeless people had, that just the complexity of their stories? I mean, because I'm sure that, we're all human in our, and like, you know, I, like everybody else in Sitka, has been through Seattle, a million times on our way to usually to some other business someplace else, and we just tend to just kind of put on the blinkers and just kind of march straight down the sidewalk mm-hmm. and not really in, you know, even sort of open a crack into mm-hmm. into what the homeless person's life mm-hmm. must be like. But you must have it must have come as some kind of an awakening to you to hear some of these women. The book, by the way, is called No Room of Her Own: Women's Stories of Homelessness, Life, Death, and Resistance. It must have come as just kind of a shock to hear, you know, story coming out of these yeah. people that we tend to kind of dehumanize.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think at that point I'd actually heard a lot of the stories, and I had a housemate who was homeless for almost 2 decades in Portland with pretty severe medical issues, and so that that experience also kind of, you know, I'd heard a lot of the life stories, but I think what I maybe didn't grasp as much was the potentially lethal consequences of spending even a single night on the street. And I do remember working at the Compass Center, and we had a woman there who had worked as a secretary at an Ivy League university back east, and she was probably in her mid-60s. And she spoke about spending the night on a doorstep her first night, I think, homeless in Seattle, and somebody had come by and given her a couple of packs of cigarettes so she could kind of sit in a doorway all night long and at least have the consolation of smoking. And I mean, that woman's life in so many ways was so incredible, and where she found herself was so different from the life that she'd lived before. And so I think, it was kind of horrifying to hear stories about women who came to, for example, the Women's Empowerment Center in Seattle. And one woman in particular who actually ended up getting murdered a couple of nights after inquiring about the city's 10-year plan to end homelessness. She was absolutely terrified of the prospect of spending a single night out on the street, and she was murdered, shortly thereafter. So just a single night on the streets, whether you're a man or a woman, it's not just the threat of exposure. It's obviously the threat of sexual assault, of being, you know, murdered on the street. And so a lot of the women that I interviewed are part of a group called the Women in Black in Seattle, and they vigil every time somebody dies homeless on the street. And I think I was just so impressed by their moral critique and their assertion of the basic human rights of homeless people. And I really wanted to help make more visible their activism.
All right. And it's not just Seattle. It's Sitka too, right?
That's correct.
It's anywhere there's mm-hmm. human communities. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about homelessness in Sitka and how you've become involved in addressing it.
Well, Sitka does have a homeless population, and there are about 20 to 25 identified homeless people. We think there could be another 30 or so that are at risk of being homeless. There's a number of people that are living in cars. There are a number of people, especially teenagers, couch surfing, and those are definitely homeless people. They have no place they can call home. Occasionally, we have people that the Easter group will get a call from someone saying, there's this person here that doesn't have a place to stay. They don't have any money. They need help. Can you help us? And so there is a bit of a network in Sitka for dealing with that. The police department deals with people. The Salvation Army is the go-to place. All of the churches, as far as I know, all of them, will do what they can to help. But I know at St. Peter's, there's discretionary monies that will be used for them. But everyone pretty much turns to the Salvation Army. It's good to have a one place to go to. So, you know, I always ask when I get a call, well, have they been to the Salvation Army? And, you know, if they have and they've helped them as much as they can, then, you know, we try and figure things out for them. So the Easter group was formed to help deal with this whole situation. In 2009, there was a Lenten study by an ecumenical group of churches, and we were studying the United Nations Millennium Development Goals, and those are for ending poverty and just all the other aspects of that by 2015, or ending extreme poverty, I should say. So this group learned about these different goals and decided at the end of the study by Easter that we decided that we didn't want to just stop there. We wanted to see what we could do about it, and especially here in Sitka. So that's how the Easter group was formed. And so since then, we've been just looking for ways to help. And so this is working with homelessness. That issue has become something in the forefront. And one of the things that we're doing is getting ready for an event that is going to happen for the first time in Sitka, January 25th, Project Homeless Connect. And this was started in about 2002 in San Francisco by the mayor there. And since then, it has spread nationwide, Canada and Australia. There are, I think there's about 8 communities in Alaska that do Project Homeless Connect. Anchorage and Kodiak do 2 of them. They both do one in the summer also. The one in January is combined with something that all communities in the country do, which is a point-in-time count that the Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, requires. They use this information that's collected, the data that's collected, to determine how much funding comes to your community. So it's very important that organizations in a community do this point-in-time count. It happens on one day. They try and have everyone in the state do it on that same day. And that's the 25th is that day, this coming January. So we're combining that point-in-time count with this one-day event, which is a day of service. So we invite the homeless people and those at risk of being homeless to Centennial Hall, where we will have services set up. We'll do an intake process, get the data about them, and then we'll feed them a hot lunch. We'll have booths set up from various vendors around town, service providers, you know, health, social services. Search will be there. Sitka Counseling and Prevention Services will be there. They can get a haircut, foot care. There'll be a couple of attorneys there, I believe. We'll help them with ID, you know, getting, filling out an application for a Social Security card or getting a state ID, just all kinds of things. I'm not sure where we're at on that list yet. But we are looking for volunteers to come help that day. Sometime this week, I will have a form on the eastergroup.org website that you can download and fill out and send in to the address listed on it for how you can help volunteer. We're also looking for donations such as clothing and different items, and cash donations also. Cash donations and credit card donations can be done through Braveheart Volunteers. Easter Group is not yet a 501c3, so Braveheart has volunteered to do that for us. So, and we'll have donation cards at the reading tonight that you can take home with you and fill out.
Okay, so people can sort of have an all-in-one experience tonight. They can listen to you. You're going to read some of the stories that you've gathered, Desiree, and people can actually engage through the Easter group in helping support Project Homeless Connect in January. Yep. So I told you it would go fast. We are out of time. I'd love to talk more about this, but it sounds like people's next opportunity is to just come tonight, 7 o'clock, to Kettleson Library if they'd like to learn more. Thanks a lot for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Desiree Helligers is a professor of English at Washington State University in Vancouver. She's the author of the newly published No Room of Her Own, Women's Stories of Homelessness, Life, Death, and Resistance. And Mim McConnell is an assembly member here in Sitka and the president and co-founder of the Easter Group.